Welcome to Al Berman Live from a studio apartment. This is episode 108. 108. 108. 108. I remember one time I was looking into different spiritual groups, and that number was very significant because the group, that particular group, they worshipped something. I don't know what it was, some kind of goddess thing or something, and the guy told me, the guy that was the head of this little family thing, he said that they had 108 foods that they ate. And I thought that was very strange that you would count the number of foods. And I think 108 was a significant number for them. And I was just wondering if, you know, you get to 108 and there's just one more that you really want that piece of chocolate cake. But you can't unless you get rid of something else on the list. Well, should we get rid of the broccoli? Ah, that's healthy stuff. Anyway, Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. And if your father's still around, give him a call, send him a gift. I'm lucky my dad is still around, and I haven't seen him in a while, but I sent him a gift. Gift card, same gift card I always send him. And it's hard to buy things for my dad because he doesn't have a lot of interests. And then he just kind of schluffs off anything. Like if you try to, you know, ask him, well, what can I get you? Oh, whatever you want, whatever, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Nothing, get me anything, nothing. It's that real Jewish kind of, you know, passive. I guess it's kind of, is it passive aggressive? I don't know if that's the right term, but it's sort of like, I mean, it just won't accept. It's just like if, I'm having a hard time articulating this. I'm saying, hey, I want to give you a gift, but I want to give you something that's useful. You know, I got him this gift to this restaurant he seems to like, but then I gave it to him for his birthday. That was in January, and he still got that one. So him and my mom don't go out that much, so I said to him, well, geez, I'd like to get you something that you could use. Oh, don't worry, not those. It doesn't matter. I can save them, and then I could trade them in for something else. He didn't say that. He's very appreciative, but you know what I'm saying? It's just like, you know what I'm saying? All right, enough of that. Happy Father's Day. It's Father's Day. Bizarre. I think I skipped a week again. I think that now the podcast is on in every other week schedule until further notice. I just have that feeling. It just seems to be going that way. And been looking into some open mics. I got to go back to open mics to get my stand-up chops. Get my stand-up thing at least a little bit back in order. It's kind of humbling. I went past one the other night I was going to go to, and there was like one guy sitting inside. And I was just like, oh, my God, you know, the parking, it was going to be a pain to park. And I was just, I really want to go stand up on a floor, not even a stage, and there's nobody in there. But, you know, I could have, maybe there people would have come if I were, you know, you don't know, but I just chose at that point. But I've been making friends with a couple of younger comedians. And so I will be getting more and more information regarding places like that to go to. And then I'll figure out, you know, where else to play, you know. I mean, if push came to shove right now, okay, put it this way. I have enough confidence. I've got decades of experience. If I, say, had a show in front of, like, say, I had to play a college or something and go in front of 1,000 people, maybe open for some celebrity or something, do 10, 15 minutes, I could do it. I could do it. I'd improvise. I have tons of material. I could do it. I wouldn't even without going to any places and doing open mics. But I kind of want to go to these out of the way. I don't have anything like that on the horizon right now. But, you know, I kind of want to go to some out of the way coffee. I like coffee houses because it's kind of, there's no alcohol to begin with. So you don't have to deal with that right off the bat. And not that I have to deal with alcohol, not for my own personal. You know, it's just like there are drinks being served, but they're coffee drinks. And anyway, I'll keep you posted on the progress of that. It's so funny. One of my newer friends, new comedy friends, I was trying to get in touch with him on Facebook, and I was sitting in my car smoking a cigar, because that's where I've been relegated to doing. And my car, oh my God, my car just, it doesn't smell very good, okay? I don't think I'm going to be dating anybody soon unless they're friggin', unless it's an old guy with a cigar in his mouth. But, yeah, there's, like I said before, there's no place, they've pretty much made it illegal to smoke tobacco. But keep poisoning our food and water supply. Thank you. Anyway, no hostility there, huh? So I was sitting in my car with my iPhone. And, you know, the iPhone has a very sensitive screen. Very sensitive screen. So I went on Facebook and I was trying to, I was sending him a message. And I don't know, I'm not a smiley face guy, okay? I mean, I don't do the smiley face or the sad face. You know, when you do it with a lot, most of the time, it seems like girls. I don't know too many guys with the smiley faces. I can't remember one guy that sent me a smiley face. But, you know, girls will do that, you know? Because it's, I don't know why. I just don't know why. But anyway, I'm trying to message this kid. I say kid because, you know, he's mid-20s. And I'm 106. And so I'm trying to message this kid. And I go, hey, and I sent a smiley face. But not just a smiley face, like a big smiley face. And then another one. So I sent two large smiley faces. And to say that I was embarrassed is an understatement. Because first of all, this is a new friend of mine. He's a kid. He's a young guy, very dedicated to comedy. Former amateur boxer. I mean, still works out in the boxing gyms. So, you know, I don't want to piss this guy off. You know, like, hey, you send me a smiley face, I'll knock you out. And no, he's not that kind of guy. But I'm just saying, you know, for comedic purposes, I threw that in. And you know, I had to immediately explain myself. Oh my God, I accidentally this happened to me. One time with a girl in my building, Yana, I was on my iPad trying to send her a Facebook message, and I sent her on the iPad. Again, it was a huge, because the iPad is a big screen, a huge smiley face that was frightening to me. And I, you know, I had to explain to her that I didn't mean to do that. And I think she LOL'd me. And actually, my friend, he LOL'd me too. That's the whole thing. I don't LOL either, okay? I don't LOL, okay? Because somebody pointed out, I forget who it was, are these people really laughing out loud? Maybe they are. I don't know. Whatever. Who am I to judge? Who am I to judge? I'm Judge Al. So, okay, I went to order some vitamins. Oh, actually, some protein. Well, the same place I get my vitamins. Protein powder from this one company online. And they have a very confusing, not very user-friendly website. And so what happens is I try to order sometimes through the website, and then I get frustrated, and I'll call them and place the order through somebody. And usually you get somebody who's, understands pretty cool. But this time I got a guy that was, he had kind of a weird vibe, this guy, you know. No sense of humor. Real just kind of like, meh. And I was explaining to him about the, you know, I was complaining, I should say. Not explaining, I was complaining about the lack of friendliness in the userness of their website-ness. And he was, like, defending the website, you know, I'm like, he didn't, like, you know, empathize with me and go, yeah, I know, it's, unless you're a freaking technological genius, it's going to be hard. But and, you know, and I'm not a I know I'm not a technological genius, but I'm not a technological idiot either anymore, okay? I'm a technological kind of everyman, in a sense. Whatever that means. Anyway, so he starts telling me, well, you need to get on there, you know, you need to get on that website, you know, and just play, you know, play around with it a little bit. And I'm thinking to myself, I need to get on the website and play around on it. What is this? my job. This is my part of my pastime. In my spare time, I go on websites where I order products and try to figure them out so I can do them better when I really need something. I mean, I just thought that was a very odd thing to say. Play around on your website. I got something you can play around with, my friend, and it's on the end of my wrist. I love acting tough because I'm so far from tough. I'm like the farthest from tough. I'm not the farthest from tough, but you can go really far, the farthest from tough, and I'm very in that neighborhood. You know, you would find me there. If they had a neighborhood of farthest from toughs, that would be, I would be somewhere very close, maybe in the next town. You know, if people go, where's the least tough people? And then you go, we got to pass through that town. You see where Al Berman is? He's in the one that's right before them. You know. But I love acting like, you know, hey, I'm really tough. I ain't tough. I'm not tough. I'm funny, I think. I'm a funny guy. I'm Mr. Funny Boy. So in my building the other day, there's a girl, a lady who lives in my building. She's been living here a long time. Maybe as long as me, maybe longer, I'm not sure. She's a middle-aged lady. I believe she has what's called Asperger's disease, which is sort of a functioning autism, I think, something like that. Because she can drive, she lives on her own, she has a job, and she does, you know, she's comes and goes and doesn't look at you and you know, look at people in the eye and just, you know, kind of looks away and sometimes smiles and sometimes doesn't. But I've noticed that whenever she needs something, boy, does she get really focused and really, you know, looking at me in the eye. Because two times I helped her out. One time she, what the hell heck happened? She, I think both times they involved leaving her keys in her apartment. I was in the parking lot once and I came in and I was able to call somebody. I guess the managers, I don't know who they were at the time. And it was rectified. But I noticed that she was very, you know, she looked me in the eye and she was very focused, locked out of my house. Could you call somebody, blah, blah. But as soon as that was done, the next time I saw her, she went right back to, you know, her Asperger's life or autistic life, whatever. And then I started having suspicions like, you know, is this some kind of act? Is she putting on an Asperger's act? Asperger's act. What's your act? I'm an Asperger's act. It's kind of funny that, you know, when she really needs something, she focuses. But maybe that's, you know, that's part of it. I mean, I'm sure she's not putting on. Why would somebody want to be like that all the time? I don't know. But the other day I come home and she's hovering around the courtyard near my door and she's looking at me and I know this can't be good. She needs something. And she goes, do you have a key to my apartment? And now that was a very strange question. And I actually knee-jerked in a very irritated way. Like, why would I have a key to your apartment? What would be the point of that? And she said something like, well, sometimes they give people the key to, you know, the building or something, and, you know, the master key. And I go, I don't know. I think maybe when the managers went away one time or so, they gave a key to one of the tenants or something. I don't know, you know. But I was like, no, I don't have the key. I have the key. I'm going to break in here. Anytime I want to go to your house, I'm going to go. No, I do not have the key. I looked her in the eye. I said, I do not have the key. I said, she said she was locked out. I said, well, I could call the managers, you know, and see, you know. And she goes, oh, one of the other tenants already did. I said, okay, well, see ya. And then I went to my house. I was just like, I didn't invite her in. I don't know. I thought about, like, I don't know, should I invite her in? And she's out. But, you know, I didn't want her. I didn't want her in my house. Not, you know, I don't have anything to relate. I'm not going to, so it's not really my problem, you know, and I didn't want to hang out with her, okay? So judge me all you want. Judge me all you want. So then, I forgot, we had a gunman last week. Gunman in the neighborhood. gunman. It turned out it was, thank God nobody was shot. And it wasn't a crazy person. It was a criminal that was under, I guess there was warrants for stuff on him. And it was a chase, a cop chase. And then he got out in my neighborhood on foot with an AK-47, I'm told, you know. And at some point he was on top of the roof of some house on a roof. I don't know what that was about. And then I guess he broke into that house. And I thought it might have been a hostage situation, but I don't think it was. I think he just broke in. But, you know, it makes me wonder about, I mean, you don't want to run from the police. If the police want to talk to you and there's a warrant, especially if there's a warrant, or even if there isn't a warrant, you want to stop and engage them. You don't want to get them angry. That's kind of my feeling and my experience. I've had in my dark past, I've had a couple of cop things. And now, ironically, I'm friendly with cops. I'm a cop-friendly guy. But I wonder, like, I was wondering, like, what is the percentage of people who run from the cops and actually get away? You know, you always see these. Are there people that, I mean, does it ever happen? It must, because people keep trying. Unless it's the definition of insanity, we keep trying to do the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. I don't know. But it turned out he finally gave himself up. And I was thinking, man, AK-47, that's some serious weaponry. That's, you know. And anyway, so that's that. One more thing about my building. Oh, so anything, well, during that incident with the gunman, I was going to, go out, but then I stayed in. I thought, like, you don't want to go out when the gunman's at large in your neighborhood, you know, you don't want to be walking down the street and go, "Hello, Mr. Gunman." And he goes, "Oh, hello, Al. You like the AK-47 I got here?" Why? I got him talking like an old Jewish man. That would be funny. An old Jewish man with an AK-47 being chased by the police. Now that's a sketch. All right. But I tell you, one thing I did feel good about is that it was a criminal. And I'll tell you why. Because criminals, I like criminals better than crazy people. The crazy people, the ones that go and just shoot people randomly, criminals aren't like that. Criminals, I mean, generally speaking, criminal. I mean, I'm talking in a general sense. There are criminals that will go out and do stuff like that, I guess. But I'm saying, you know, a guy like that is wanted. He's just trying to save his skin and get away from the cops. And so I was just grateful that, you know, nothing happened, that I understand nothing bad happened to anybody. And that's the second incident. We had another incident about 2 months ago where some guy in the neighborhood killed a neighbor, or wounded a neighbor, killed his girlfriend and wife, and then killed himself, I think. So, and this is a nice neighborhood, okay? Okay? This is a nice neighborhood. All right. Enough. Enough with the stuff. So, I see one of my other neighbors, and the other night, and he's coming up the walk. And this guy has remarked that he's been, you know, he knows me a long time, so he knows when I was at my fattest, and he knows seeing me lose weight, and he's been very observant and complimentary. And I know that I've been actually gaining weight lately, you know, although in the last couple of days, I think I'm back to losing. But anyway, he saw me, and this is when I think I was back to, you know, I was feeling like, oh, I'm starting to feel uncomfortable with this weight gain. I just feel like I'm kind of on the way to a new size, and I don't really want to go there. And he saw me, and he goes, "You know, I didn't recognize you. You know, you've lost so much weight." And I was just thinking, it's not weird that like something like that happens. Like, I know that I've gained weight, but this, in this guy's mind, and he's not the kind of guy to just mess with me and say stuff like that. So I thanked him. But I got absolute confirmation that I've been gaining weight because I had to go and buy a new shirt, okay? And I don't know if I talked about this last week. Let me see. I don't think I did. I'm looking at my notes here, folks. Please do not judge me. Do not judge who I am. Okay. I don't think so. Listen to me. I'm wasting time now. No, I have a suit that I've only worn a couple times, and I believe that had I gone and tried to put that suit on right before my first surgery, after my first surgery, I would definitely have to take it in. But I went and tried it on, and I think I could probably still take it in, but I chose not to because I was afraid it'd be too tight. I figured I'd just go with the tightening the belt route, and so I went and had that clean. But I realized, okay, you know, the suit, you know, it's not does not significantly need to be altered. So that was my first clue that the weight gain that I suspected was happening, because I don't really use a scale because I'm kind of, I was told by a trainer years ago, you don't go by numbers, plus I'm afraid of the scale. I'm sorry. So so I needed to get a shirt to go with this suit. The reason I need a suit, I'm having a dinner with a business situation, okay? And we're going to a nice place, and you don't have to be super dressed up, you know, but you can't wear shorts and a freaking t-shirt. So I was going to go. There's not a lot of, you know, big and tall, or as I like to call them, fat guy stores in this neck of the woods. The closest one is Glendale, California, which is, you know, a couple towns away. Well, I call over there, and it gets forwarded to one in a place called Commerce, which is a few towns away. Well, Glendale is under remodeling, some kind of malarkey, okay? So if I want to go and get a shirt, I got two choices now. If I want, I got more than two choices, but they're all kind of far. And since I was heading to downtown L.A., which Commerce is kind of past downtown L.A., I was going to have to go to downtown L.A. anyway afterwards. I chose Commerce, and it was quite a drive. If you want to take a drive sometime and just feel the natural anti-beauty of man-made objects, take a drive to Commerce. Get on that freeway with the... There's some freeway I was on. Two lanes. What was this, 1947 here? So I go out there, and it's one of these outlet places, malls, got outlet stores, and I show up there, and there's this kid, a chunky kid, who's waiting on me, and I tell him the kind of shirt. I want a solid color. They're limited to the solid colors they have in my particular. Well, what turned out was I'm in between sizes right now, okay? I'm in between. The old size that I have been is a bit tight, you know, around the stomach, because I gain everything in the stomach and the boobs. Like, I'm turning into a transvestite here. So I get a shirt that's a bigger size, and I'm trying it on, and then there's this woman, kind of a middle-aged woman, but extremely beautiful, sexy woman, sexually dressed, with the cleavage, the short, tight skirt, the high heels, the pedicure, the manicure, and I start joking with her and talking to her. She's waiting for something there. They're waiting. The other guy that works there is trying to find something for her that she ordered. And by the way, the other guy is a fashion student, and he said this one shirt that I had on, I tried on, he said it was good. It would go with the thing with my suit. And I explained the color it was. I pointed out a similar color, but this lady wasn't feeling. She goes, "That shirt's too big on you. You need to get this and that." She starts picking out things, and she's helping me, and I'm going, "Hey, you know, to get a woman's perspective, why not? You know what? She obviously knows what she's talking about." And we started trying different things on and this and that, but then this size was too big, this size was too tight, you know, and then it turned out I was spending a lot of time there. I was in the 1 hour parking zone. I needed to get downtown by a certain time. And I don't have a lot of patience when shopping. I like when my idea of going shopping is knowing exactly what I want, going in the store and getting it. I'm not a shopper. Or I could say I'm a poor shopper. Either way. So I was asking her why she was there, and she said she had ordered something for her son. And I said, "Oh, well, how big is your son?" Because you're in a big, you know. And she said, "Oh, he's 6'2" or 3", and he's 495 pounds. And she said it like without, not like in like any kind of like concern, just matter of fact. And I said, well, I'm betting that most of that's not muscle at this point. I mean, and how old is he? Well, he's 19. He used to play football. Oh, I see. Well, I think the operative phrase is used to. I mean, folks, that's a quarter of a ton. Once the word ton is entered into your weight, in any, you got to kind of really, you got to start to think about salads. So I go, wow, that's big. And then it turns out she's getting something for a party they're having. Her and her husband have been married for 30 years. They're doing a commitment wedding. And I said to her, what is the secret to your longevity in your marriage? And she said, putting up with a lot of BS. And, you know, I shouldn't say BS, but you know what? When I do my podcast, I figure I want to keep it totally clean. If it was stand up, I would say the word, but you know what I'm talking about. And I go, wow, this didn't sound okay. And then I said to her, you know, I asked her what she did, and she had some kind of like job at a district attorney's office. And I said, you ought to have a side business where you help guys like me go shopping for stuff. And she said she was working on that. And I go, oh, okay. And then you know, she left. And she was like super attractive. And then the kid who was waiting on me was going, man, you were, you know. You know, because as I get older, I got game. I got real verbal game, right? And he goes, man, you were really doing good, man. You should have really got her number or something. I go, man, what, are you kidding me? This woman's 30 years married. She's got a 500-pound son. I don't think so. You know, but then I start thinking about, like, why is a woman who's married dressing like that? She's dressing like a girl that's going to a club to try to get a guy. I mean, I'm talking about cleavage for days, but you know, I already gave the description, and I just thought to myself, I don't know, I just thought that was very odd, and then I made a decision to go with the original shirt, the one she said was too big, but if I tuck it in, it probably won't look too bad, which I guess I will, and I wanted to wear it outside my pants, but I think I'll put it inside my pants for this thing. Put it inside my pants. Doesn't sound very good. And then this other kid walks in, who's kind of a heavyset kid, and he looks like he's like a, you know, regular customer, because he knows the kid that's waiting on me. And then he can't find what he wants, so he's going to go to this other place that's near there. And I go, wow, there's two fat guy places very close to each other? And I go, of course. There's more fat people on this side of the L.A. That's just it. Why is that? Is it because it's so ugly that people just have to, you know, fix themselves with food? All right, enough of that. Anyway, I've been doing better. I think I started doing some exercise and cutting down on some things, but I actually am planning to, I've been saying this a while. I know, to be actually absolutely honest with myself, I need to cut everything that I know does not agree with me out for most of the time, and occasionally, you know, maybe find healthy alternatives, and then occasionally, if you can't find a healthy alternative, go with something that you know, like an ice cream or a donut. But you know, I've been eating a little bit of sugar every day, and I'm not even stuffing. I'm not even overeating, and I know I've gained weight. So, all right, enough of this. This enough with this ranting and raving, folks. Anyway, thanks. That's the end of that's another podcast in the can. And again, I always want to express gratitude for those who do listen. Really appreciate it. And like I said, I think it just seems like every other week is the schedule for right now. I don't know. I haven't figured it out. It just seems to go with my lifestyle. What's that, Al? Laziness! No, it just seems to be, you know, the thing to do right now. We'll see. Okay, folks? Okay. Anyway, until next time, this is Al Berman live from a studio apartment.